Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson, Chris Woodward, and from Kansas City, Ray Pritchard. Dr. Ray Pritchard. Ray, tell our listeners a little bit about your ministry, and I know you got some great stuff going on at your website. Tell our folks about that.
Well, thanks so much, Ed. The website is keepbelieving.com, and this year we are reading through the Bible together, and I mean that I am reading it out loud every day, and we've been posting the videos, and today we are in 2 Kings chapters 19, 20, and 21. I think maybe also 22. That's Hezekiah, and that's the great victory against Sennacherib and how God gave Hezekiah extra years. And then his son Manasseh came along, and Hezekiah was a great king, and his son Manasseh was a total disaster. So it's one of those portions of the Old Testament to remind you that there's no guarantee. We're always, the Christian faith, as it has been well said, is only one generation away from extinction if we don't pass the faith along. So anyway, friends, we are reading through the Bible out loud, and I'm posting videos every day, every morning at 7 a.m. You can join us. And by the way, Ed, we have a ton. That's a technical term. We have a big ton of AFR listeners who have joined us, and I know that because almost every time they make a comment, they say, I was listening to you on AFR and heard about the Let's Read the Bible program. So come join us at keepbelieving.com and let's read through the Bible together this year.
And Ray, I'm on your website now. Again, it's keepbelieving.com. They can download a PDF schedule for the entire year. Now, let me ask you this. Can they, let's say they're going on a trip, and they want to hear you read the entire book of Exodus. Can they do that? Can they go back?
It's
backwards?
All there. Yep. Everything so far from Genesis on January the 1st up through today, which is May the 30th, all the videos are there. And it's also available in audio podcast form from Spotify and Google Play and iTunes. We got a lot of people. For some reason, some people would rather listen than have to watch, and I do understand that. And so they drive the car, they ride the bike, they jog, and they listen to the Bible reading. Yeah. And so you can watch or listen, and it's all there, free for downloading.
What was the name of, was it Scorby? Who was the name of, I remember when
Alexander Scorby.
He read,
voice from God.
Yes. I remember when I first got saved, maybe a few years after that, but I was at least in Bible college. You could get, I think at the time it was the cassettes of Alexander Scorby reading the Bible. Hmm. And I think there was a King James version and an NIV version. I don't remember. But
there is an app, apparently.
You can still listen to
it. I was today years old when I was introduced to Alexander Scorby.
Scorby?
I Googled his name, and apparently there is a Bible app bearing his last name, so you may be able to get that.
Now, Ray, I'm just going to say, is your voice anything? I'm going to ask. Is your voice anything near that Scorby?
This is, if you said, is there a voice designed by God for the reading of the Bible? It is Alexander Scorby. He's got the British accent.
Oh, yeah.
Say. And yeah. It's gorgeous
to top
and
it off.
Deep and it's resonant. But, you know, I do what I can. Right?
Yes. What is it about British accents?
You know, I don't know. I immediately feel inferior.
I'm convinced they don't really sound like that unless we're around. It's just an act.
They put it on for us Yankees.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Too great. What was it? I think George Patton said once, he said, we're two great nations separated by a common language.
Common language.
Yeah, something like that. All right. Now, I did make mention, I thought Steve Jordahl was going to be on. I saw him through the glass outside our studio, but he is still, folks, having some computer problems, and these are real problems, not just reboot and it'll fix itself. So he has not been able to get into his computer and has not been able to prep for the show. So hopefully he'll be back later on in the week, but we'll have to wait and see. So we're stuck with, I mean, we get to have Chris for another 20 minutes.
Like being at my house. I live with three women and one, we think, female cat. So, yeah.
All right, Chris. We'll try to. By the way, you did have fans last week when we were, I forget what day it was. Tim was on the show and we were talking. Tim made the comment about you being the eye candy. Yeah. You know,
because like an old dusty piece of candy.
No, yeah. Well, Tim and I were talking about the fact that we're not exactly GQ Gentleman's Quarterly people. Talking about Tim and I, and Tim said you're our eye candy. That's what people watch the video stream for. And you had defenders. We were picking on you on Facebook. I went look at some of the comments after the show. They were saying, don't pick on our Chris.
So. Okay. Well, thank you all, all three of you. Chad,
yes.
Validate your parking the next time you come for a tour.
All right. Let's move along with issues.
Let's get into an issue of, I mean, we could have talked about this at the beginning of the show. There's been a lot to talk about today if you're just now joining us. So this would explain why we're just now getting into this in the 11 o'clock hour. Members of the House Oversight Committee and members of the House overall are still waiting on the FBI to turn over documents they say provide more ammunition, if you will, for the House's case against the Biden family's influence peddling scheme. This is that situation that Congressman James Comer and others had a press conference about a month ago, talking about how they had evidence showing that Joe Biden and members of his family have made millions of dollars based on Biden's travels abroad going back to his time as vice president. And Congressman Comer, who chairs the House Oversight Committee, said at that time, we're going to be issuing some subpoenas. We still want more information. Speaker McCarthy has said a couple of times that he's going to have conversations with Christopher Wray about them overturning this information. They still have not done that. And so Speaker McCarthy was asked all about this again today on Fox and Friends. And Speaker McCarthy said at this point, Christopher Wray could face a contempt charge in the House. Clip 7.
We had a conversation, and I'm part of Gang of Eight. I see sensitive documents all the time. I told him he could redact certain parts of that, names and others, so we wouldn't know methods, but we have a right to see it. He does not have the right to choose what he can and cannot show us. We oversee the FBI, and if he thinks differently, he will soon see a contempt charge in Congress against the director. There is enough problems in the FBI, and I am not going to sit back and allow him to ignore this. We will get this document. He has not denied that the document's not there. He knows that there's a document, and we have a responsibility to see it.
Now, that was James Comer speaking at a crowded Chick-fil-A restaurant.
Speaker McCarthy.
Speaker McCarthy. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So before I get to Fred and Ray, see what they think about this, let's say there is a contempt of Congress charge issued against Christopher Wray, the FBI director. What does that entail? Do you know? I mean, are there any teeth to that? Is that just something that goes in your file and you're the first FBI director to, you know, in recent memory to be issued a contempt of Congress charge? What is the actual teeth behind that?
I am not a lawyer, but I would say that I would say it's probably more a reprimand, a slap on the wrist than like being physically thrown in jail. And I say that because going back to about 2012, then Attorney General Eric Holder was held in contempt for some documents that had to do with the Fast and Furious scandal during the Obama administration. And obviously he lived to continue to be Attorney General and nothing was really ever done about it. I'm sharing a link here from Cornell and their law school. Contempt of Congress is when an individual intentionally interferes with congressional action. Congress has the power to restrain such individuals from interfering with its actions. It is a form of contempt similar to a contempt of court. But whether or not, you know, Christopher Wray is going to have handcuffs slapped on him or something, that remains to be seen. I will say this is the same Speaker McCarthy that said we're going to hold Biden to the line when it comes to the debt ceiling stuff, and now he's kind of wavered there. So take his whole contempt of Congress with a grain of salt, perhaps.
Well, I personally would not want Christopher Wray thrown in jail. I don't even know if that's a possibility with a contempt of court charge, Fred. But it is it should be embarrassing for the FBI, and this could be the kind of thing if a Republican wins the White House that results in you being fired. I don't know. But you have to do something. And that's what Kevin McCarthy is threatening Christopher Wray with, because I agree with the speaker. He has no right to withhold that kind of information from the House of Representatives. And there is a mechanism for them to look at even classified documents, but this isn't even a classified document.
Yeah, and what you say, basically, that this is a constitutional crisis of a sort. And we'll have to wait and see what happens. But I think of the bigger picture in this, if Christopher Wray refuses to hand over this document, it is another clear piece of evidence that we now have a very politicized Justice Department from the Attorney General down.
Right.
We have a Justice Department that's all in with the Democratic Party and believes it has the right to ignore the law. To ignore the responsibility that the FBI has to the House, the oversight powers given by the Constitution to the House to oversee the Justice Department, to have a look at this document. Listen, it ought not to come as a surprise to anyone. This is an FBI and that's been looking into Hunter Biden and the other departments looking into Hunter Biden's financial dealings, with what he did with millions of dollars that he made while his daddy was vice president, being on boards of an energy company in the Ukraine when he knows nothing about energy.
Right.
You know, this is the same Justice Department that calls parents who show up at school board meetings as domestic terrorists.
Right.
All of this is going on. So if Christopher Wray decides that he's going to dig in and not hand over this document, it is just more proof we have a Justice Department that's out of control.
Yeah, and Ray, it does appear every single day we do see, like Fred said, more evidence of the weaponization of the federal government, at least on the executive branch side, and that's why there are supposed to be checks and balances, and each branch is supposed to respect the authority of the other one. And this is a clear case of disrespect on the part of the FBI director, because it does appear that he's running interference for the Biden administration when the people's representatives do have a right to know what's happening.
Look, you guys are 100% correct in what you said, but let's get to the bottom line. Nothing's going to happen here, right?
Right.
Nothing is going to happen. Fred, everything you said is right. And Christopher Wray is not going to give those documents over. The FBI has been weaponized. The Justice Department has been weaponized against conservatives, against those of us on the right. Christopher Wray would do anything rather than give over information implicating Joe Biden in the Hunter Biden shenanigans and the criminality and all the rest of it. And I think this is in part was way above my pay grade, this separation of powers issue. Okay, so I can't really speak too much of the legalities of it. But look, he's going to continue. I'm talking about Christopher Wray. He's going to continue to refuse to turn those documents over. But he's going to do it because he knows he can get away with it. I don't think they're going to perp walk him out of the FBI
right.
into the jail. I just don't think that's going to happen. So really, other than getting a reprimand, it's like getting something put in your permanent record in elementary school, you know?
Right.
Nobody's going to look at it anyway. Nobody's going to care. I think he's going to get away with it. That's my gloomy bottom line on this mess.
Well, and I personally, and this would probably be a moment when Tim would call me the show's liberal, but I personally would not want to see Christopher Ray perp walked. Because I think that sets a bad precedent for each side to start arresting one another, because then we really are a banana republic. But that is why everybody on both sides of the aisle should respect the law and should respect the checks and balances that the Constitution has provided. Because when you have one side that will not respect the law and will not obey the authorities representing the people, I'm talking about the House of Representatives, then that does push your opposition party to up the ante. And that is where you do get into banana republic style government, where whoever's in power uses the a power and authority of the government to punish political opponents. Everybody's got a everybody's subject to the law. And when you and when one side says, well, too bad, we're not going to follow it, then you do push the other side to take extreme measures. And that's not good for anybody. Ray, did you want to add something to that?
Well, everybody is subject to the law unless they're not, right? And I think that's what – I think it's a clear case of it here. Everybody is subject to the law, and some people are more subject, and evidently some people in high places are hardly subject at all. So right. There it is.
That's a good way of
– Gloom and doom, friends. I'm sorry. I wish I had some encouraging thought here, but I think Christopher Ray's going to get away with it. I don't think he's going to turn that stuff over.
But you know what? If everything was reversed here,
yeah.
All right. If the party players were all reversed, and the Democrats were making a demand of a politicized by the Republicans Justice Department, they would walk Christopher Ray out in handcuffs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're the ones who are saying things like we need to. The Republicans have packed the Supreme Court. We need to add justices. They're the ones who are arguing for these kinds of extreme measures to be taken. But here's another thing to consider as well. Everybody's got their part to play in a functioning republic like ours, and that includes the mainstream media.
Mm.
And the mainstream media has not been fulfilling its role really since the Bill Clinton administration, but the last 10 years especially – they have completely abandoned their proper role. They're supposed to play the role of a watchdog that is that watches both sides equally.
Yes.
And the fact of the matter is, Republicans would, if the situation were reversed, like you're suggesting, Fred, Republicans would probably cave because the mainstream media would play them. And I'm talking about the legacy media. They would play this up. And it would be 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not doing that. They should be demanding the release of this. And because they also have left their proper estate and are running cover for the Democratic Party, then Christopher Ray feels insulated.
Yeah.
And he can get away with this.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ray.
Look, I'm just checking on Facebook, and there's a lively, not all of our listeners agree with what's just been said. There's a lively discussion, and somebody, Christian Keel said, or Creel said, how can you be okay without punishing those who break the law? I'm not. I am not okay with that. We are not okay. We are saying the law should be enforced. I just don't know. There is a mechanism that's usable to actually force Christopher Ray to turn over those documents. That's somebody says, well, don't you believe the Bible? Yeah, have you read the – yes, I've read the – I'm reading it every day.
Yes.
And I think there ought to be a way to enforce the law. I just don't know that there's – politically, I don't know that there's a way to force Christopher Ray to hand over those documents. I wish there were.
And that's why we try not to mention last names if we mention someone on Facebook. Christian, please don't be so disrespectful to people like Ray. They certainly read their Bible. You may disagree with what we have to say, but there's no need to insult people, especially someone like Ray who's been reading,
I don't feel insulted because I think the question's a good one. You know, yeah. Do we think the law should be enforced? Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
All right. Let's move on. We got anything else?
I just want to take a moment and say that my Bible reading is what gets me through another day of doom and gloom.
Yeah.
And if you're not reading it, you should be as well, because you'll need it, especially if you work in news. Speaking of news, stay with our newscast today, because a key test is coming before the House Rules Committee this afternoon to consider the package and vote on this supposed debt ceiling deal that Speaker McCarthy and President Joe Biden agreed to over the weekend. Let's go back a little bit here before I play the soundbite. The initial thing that the House passed back in April agreed to give Biden a debt ceiling increase in exchange for some modest spending cuts going back just a few years, not 2012, not 2003 level.
And it's not actually cuts. It's a lesser rate of increase.
Yes, yes. So that's been the whole thing. Hey, Biden, we're going to have to make him agree to this and that kind of stuff. And Biden says, I'm not doing it. I'd rather have a debt ceiling increase, and then we'll talk about cuts. So the compromise, and I'm calling it a compromise because that's what people are referring to it as, the compromise includes things like work requirements for some Americans in like the food aid program. But then it doesn't really get into the big spending cuts that people like Congressman Chip Roy and Ralph Norman wanted and have been pushing for. And speaking of Representatives Roy and Norman, they were on Fox today saying they do not like this deal one bit. So Speaker McCarthy may actually have to rely on Democrats to get this thing passed in the GOP-led House. It's a strange world we live in. But here's Congressman Roy and Norman here, clip four.
There's going to be a block of us that are a no. And I hope that more Republicans will join with us and stand up. I would like to say that we should kill this. We should move forward. We should pass a short-term debt ceiling change. Let's not lift the debt. $4 trillion. Again, I want to repeat that for America. $4 trillion. We are going to have an uncapped, actually, debt ceiling that will equal $4 trillion that expires in a lame duck. On January 1st, 2025, and for that, we do not get substantive policy reforms on any of the green tax subsidies, the corporate cronyism.
I think we need to call our bluff, and there is a time that you walk away from negotiations, and this is one of them. They're not serious. Biden dithered for over 100 days, and no deal is better than a bad deal, and this is a bad deal for America, and it should not move forward.
All right, Fred, I'm going to turn to you first because I know you're just dying to explain this. I'm just going to be honest. I don't know what to believe about this quote-unquote compromise, this deal. Newt Gingrich liked it. I read his opinion piece on it. Mm-hmm. Chip Roy and others don't. I do not think the Democratic Party right now is headed by Joe Biden will ever want to slow the rate of increase in spending. I think the $4 trillion is just a disaster, mm-hmm. but I don't think you're going to ever get them to do anything less than an open-ended series of increases in spending. I'm not sure what the right thing to do is. That's why we have representatives. So what's your take on this?
I believe, Chris, we have some audio of McCarthy responding to the opposition from those Republicans. Let's have a listen to what he had to say this morning. He knows there are some Republicans against this, but I want, rather than me tell you what McCarthy said, let's hear from the
And we may have speaker. To cut a little bit of this short, only for time purposes, clip five.
Well, we're going to sit down. We're going to talk today, a little today, have people come in. It's the first time they're back to be able to walk through the bill. I mean, read the Wall Street Journal. They say it's a very good bill. You look time and again. What's interesting, compare it to other debt ceilings. When we had the presidency, the Senate, and the House, they just raised the debt ceiling with no cuts. It was just a clean debt ceiling. We only have the House. The president said he wouldn't even negotiate with us, but we were able to get in there. This is the biggest cut in American history that we'd vote for. And I'm not sure where in here. There's no new taxes. There's no new government programs. Would I wanted to cut more? Yes, but I was only able to work at less than 15% of the budget. So I'm not quite sure what else they wanted to go. 72% of this is off to the other side. We were able to plus up defense and the veterans, but that non-defense without veterans is actually lower than what we spent in 2022. I think we got to look at where the victories are. We don't spend another $4 trillion. We allow them to keep going forward until January, but you got those extraordinary measures. I think if we got a new president in there and a Senate majority, we're going to finally be able to tackle this. I would like to look at everything and put us on a better path. This is just the first step.
All right, good. I'm glad we had some sound from Kevin McCarthy.
Yes.
So
he's basically saying, this is the best I can do. We only have control of the House. It's the best I can do.
Right. All right, well, we'll have to wait and see. I'm sure more will be coming out on this, and this is not a done deal yet. Mm-mm. This still has to be voted on. Kevin McCarthy insisted, I'm proud of this, that 3 days to look at the bill before they vote. That was even something he had to win
yes,
as a concession.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, folks, that's all the time we have for this edition of Today's Issues. Thanks to Ray Pritchard, Fred Jackson, Chris Woodward,
it's the
and
best
Brent
I can
Freely,
do.
The best you can do. Folks, more great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Lord willing, we will see you tomorrow.